Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue on the broadcast our studies of the Christian walk. And today we wish to consider the Christian walk as a walk in truth. And we're going to be reading in the third epistle of John to his beloved son in the faith, Gaius. And this walk in the truth is a new challenge. And we will read now in the first verse of the third chapter of John's epistle, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Gaius, very evidently, was a spiritual son of the Apostle John. And he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." That's the greatest joy that John could experience. Now, ordinarily, we think of the greatest joy in connection with a person as the time when he's born again. That is a time of joy. John isn't talking about the fact that the new birth isn't a joy, for it is when we see a soul trust in Christ, believing that Christ died for his sins on the cross, just casting himself without reservation on that wonderful, lovely fact, our sins are paid for, Christ died for us, we can go to heaven now because that barrier of sin has been removed. When we see the joy come to the face of a person who believes it and realizes it, I'm going to heaven not because I deserve it, but because Christ died for me on that cross. Now that brings joy. But John says, I've got a greater one. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, it's one thing to see a person born into the kingdom of God, and it's quite another thing to see him going on in the truth. There's nothing so distressing as a baby that can't grow. And John says, that is what delights my soul, is to see that person, newly born babe in Christ, go on for God. That's the greatest joy. And it, by the same token, is a distress when Christians are born again into the kingdom of God and they take it so lightly that after a while it seems that they've almost forgotten it. But John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Let's give a definition of truth. What is truth? Pilate asked that question of the Lord Jesus when he stood before him before his crucifixion, when Pilate was judging him. He asked the question of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? Christ did not answer that question, but just stood there. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 6, our Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't answer Pilate's question. He just simply stood in his presence. Here was the truth personified. Here was the Word of God. But our Lord Jesus Christ, in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, in his prayer, it's called the High Priestly Prayer of our Lord Jesus, in verse 17, tells us exactly what truth is. Sanctify them through thy truth. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying to his Father in that intercessory prayer, that high priestly prayer. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The scriptures are the truth. They cannot vary. They are the truth. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself is the truth because he is the word. You will remember that in the first chapter of John's Gospel, that Gospel starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and it's capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Now, who is the Word here? We're told in verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God was incarnate. God came down. Our Lord Jesus Christ came down as God and became incarnate. This verse is frequently written on Christmas cards. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here is the divine logos, the Word of God, the complete expression of God. Here is the truth personified in Christ. Now, the Word with a small w is also the truth, because that Word is God's thoughts. The Word of God is the mind of God, the will of God, the promise of God, and the very character of God preserved for us in the form of the Word of God, the Bible, so that we might enjoy it, cherish it, be directed, controlled, fed, and strengthened by it. The Scriptures are the Word of God. And that's what John is talking about when he speaks about, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. They're walking according to the principles of the Bible. That's what brought joy to John's heart. Now, the Word of God must be correctly conveyed to listening hearts. Notice, please, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy in that epistle, that pastoral epistle, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Word of God must be correctly taught. It is not all for the Jewish people. It is not all for the Gentile people. We have to rightly divide the Word of God and see to whom the Word of God is directed. Part of it is directed to the unsaved. Part of it, indeed, is directed to the erring child of God. Now, we, indeed, need to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, what is the course of truth in our lives? I remember hearing a gifted speaker of the Word of God, a gifted expositor of the Word of God. I greatly revered him. And he said this, the course of the Word of God is that it comes, first of all, into our ears. And then it goes up to our brain. And then it goes down into the heart. Isn't that nice? And then it comes out in the feet. If we hear the Word of God, it will come out in our daily walk. It will control our lives. And that's the course of the truth of God in our lives. Now, in 1 Peter, well, let's talk about what it means to us, what it does for us, the Word of God in our lives. It is the means of eternal life to us. John, in Peter, in his first epistle, in chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is the means by which we receive everlasting life. In that Word, we're told we're sinners. In that Word, we're told that Christ died for us. Now, it is there again, 1 Peter 1 and 23, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, and that is the means of our new birth. Now, also, it is a mirror, the Word of God. Well, first, we'll refer to that later. In James chapter 1 and verse 18, we read, of his own will, God's own will, he begat us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, that brings us everlasting life. Now, it will set us apart for God. It will sanctify us. We've already read the verse in John chapter 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If the Word of God has its way in our hearts, people will know that we're Christians. It will come out in our lives. It will come out in our feet, so to speak, in our Christian walk. and then the scriptures will keep us from sin in Psalm 119, and I think we'll spend most of our time in that wonderful psalm that speaks so eloquently of the Word of God and its effect on our lives. We'll read there what the course of the truth of God is in our lives. It will clean us. It will cleanse us from sin. We read in verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." The word of God will cleanse us. And then a little farther on, he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The scriptures will keep us from sin, and the scriptures will also strengthen us. We read in verse 28 of the 119th Psalm, "My soul melteth from heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." The word of God is our strength, and it is because it's our food. Peter speaks in that first chapter of 1 Peter, "Desire as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word." The milk is baby food, and it speaks that the milk of the word speaks of Christ in his humility. But the fifth chapter of Hebrews speaks of the word of God as the strong meat, and there it's Christ in his glory. So the word of God strengthens us because it's our food. Now the scripture will guide us. In the 105th verse of the 119th Psalm, we read there, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It will guide us in the perfect ways of God. The scriptures will give us hope. In verse 114 of the 119th Psalm, we read there, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." The word of God will give us hope, and the scriptures will delight our hearts. We read in Psalm 119, verse 162, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil," gems, the spoils of war, great spoil. "I rejoice in thy word." It's the delight of the heart. It reflects the glory of God in our lives. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes to his beloved Corinthians, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, as we read the scriptures and see in those scriptures Christ reflected from the pages of scripture, not personally, of course, yet, but we see him reflected in the pages of scripture, the Spirit of God conforms us to the image of Christ. Oh, what the Word of God does in our lives. How wonderful it is to walk in the truth. And what a challenge. Our Father, today, bless these thoughts to our hearts, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.